Amen. You may be seated. And I'm going to be using various texts this morning for my sermon as we kind of look through the scriptures this morning. One of my favorite verses of all Christmas carols is actually from this last carol that we sang. If you notice the first verse, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Christmas is one of those peculiar seasons that brings with it an abundance of joy, an abundance of happiness. But it also brings with it a tug of sorrow, of sadness that seems to be deeper and richer and more agonizing at Christmas as it is at any other season. There's celebration and there's loneliness. On the one hand, we celebrate the birth of Christ coming, and yet on the other hand, it's a time where darkness seems to rear its ugly head and seeks to extinguish the light. Many of us will enjoy our celebrations, see the delight in the eyes of our children and grandchildren, and yet we will at times also recognize the loneliness in our own heart. I remember when my mother was in Pakistan, I would always, at some point in time, I remember once going, and we were celebrating and hanging up all of our ornaments, and I went into the other room to get something, and my mom was there, and she was crying. And she wiped away her tears and tried quickly to wipe away her tears, and I couldn't understand it. Why was she crying? This was the best night. We were decorating our home for Christmas. And it wasn't until later on that I realized that my mother actually never, after she got married, had a complete Christmas. What I mean by that is when she was in Pakistan, her mom and dad and her brothers and sisters were in America. And when she was in America, for the couple of years we would come every once in a while, my dad was always at home at Christmas. And I realized that there wasn't always a complete Christmas. So sometimes we feel that ache. But in the scriptures we see this theme of darkness and light. Right from the beginning pages of scripture, as we will see, all the way to the last chapters of Revelation, we see this contrasting theme of darkness and light. And we recognize that God is at work, and these themes go throughout the scriptures as they begin to help us to understand our own reality. And the question we need to ask is, what's the source of darkness? As little kids, we're scared of the dark because we don't know what's present with us. And in reality, the darkness as adults is the same reality, isn't it? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where a lost child is. I don't know how life is going to work out now. Bright sunshine streams through the window, but inside there's a darkness because I don't really know. And darkness has any number of sources. The Bible tells us that sin and rebellion brings with it a darkness. Psalm 107 says this, "Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their heads down with hard labor, and they fell down with none to help them." Sometimes when we're in the midst of sin and rebellion against God, whether as believers at times or whether as non-believers, we find ourselves in a darkness that it seems to be impenetrable. But there's a darkness that comes through the brokenness that sin brings with it, not directly related to sin. And many men and women throughout the scriptures found themselves in places of darkness, not necessarily because of sin of their making, but because of the brokenness that comes with living in this world. Some of the greatest prophets, Jeremiah and Elijah, found themselves in darkness. Leaders like Moses and David cringed in darkness. Widows like Naomi and Ruth, mothers-to-be who were yet barren like Hannah. The afflicted Job, the guilt of Peter at denying the Lord Jesus three times, it says that he went into the darkness weeping. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb in darkness, we are told. And we are told in the scripture that there is a darkness that comes from also from the blindness that the devil brings to the souls of unbelievers, that he blinds the eyes of unbelievers so that they will not see the glory of God. And brothers and sisters, in our midst right now, there might be any number of us who, as believers, maybe in our sin and rebellion, find ourselves in darkness and we need light. Or maybe there's an ache within us on this beautiful sunny day that seems to almost threaten to make things dark. Or maybe you're present here and you've never trusted in Christ. And Christmas is as good as the lights in the tree, and then you put them away and the darkness never really leaves. But this morning I want to simply trace the light of the gospel, if you will, through the scriptures, through this connection between darkness and light. And in Genesis, we begin in Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, and this is what it says. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And right from the beginning, we see this picture of darkness. Even before creation, it says that everything was dark and void. But the good news of the gospel is present even there. Even in the midst of a pre-sin reality of darkness. First of all, just notice very quickly that we can praise God even at this pre-creation darkness, in the void and the darkness. It says that the Holy Spirit of God hovered over the waters. What a glorious thought this morning, that there is no place where you and I are or could be, and that the Spirit of God is not present in the reality even of our darkness. Psalm 139, the psalmist who is trying to run from the Lord comes to this conclusion. He says, surely the darkness will cover me and the light will be night around me. But even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as day. For darkness is as light to you. And the wonderful gospel comes to us in Genesis also, where it says that God spoke into the darkness. And he says, let there be light. Now that's the creation of light. But what a glorious and wonderful hope as we sometimes sit in our own darkness, in our own making maybe, or just in the ache of it, that we have a God who speaks into the darkness. And there he brings light. And yet sin so ravages God's good creation that it brings a darkness now of the soul. A darkness that separates us from God and the frustration of creation in our lives, our bodies, our minds, and our circumstances. And yet throughout the Old Testament, it's always God who comes as light. He is constantly present throughout the pages of the Old Testament in that reality of sinful rebellion God pursues with light. He is the pillar of fire in the darkness of Israel's wandering in the desert and wilderness that gave them light by night. He is the Shekinah glory that descended upon the tabernacle in the wilderness between the tents where Israel was. And then later in Solomon's temple in the Holy of Holies, he was the Shekinah glory that rested and brought light. Yet with all of that, even God's own covenant people, Israel, turned away. They rebelled in unbelief and darkness. Yet even in the midst of that darkness, there was a greater promise to come. Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 2, that was read this morning, said, "A people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in a land of darkness, on them a light has shone." And the promise of the Messiah to come, of a light that will break forth into darkness, would come. And we see that glorious fulfillment in the beginning of John's Gospel in chapter 1, right at the very beginning, where we get to see this creation fall redemptive element of darkness and light coming together. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God," and here's the creative reality, "and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything that was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness to the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came as a witness about the light. The true light, which gives life to everyone, was coming into the world, and he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet they did not know him. And then verse 14, "And the Word that was at creation that brings life and light, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And that word "dwelt" is the word "tabernacled among us." He pitched his tent in the midst of his people once again, like in the wilderness days. "And we have seen his glory," pointing to the Shekinah glory that came upon the tabernacle and the temple. That glory now we have seen. We have seen the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. But this time it's not a light, a glory, but this time the light and the glory are present in the face of a baby. The true light is in the face of a baby lying in a manger. God, who once again, but now in flesh, condescends to enter the darkness of his people in order to bring an eternal light. and the people walking in darkness of sin and rebellion, silence of hundreds and hundreds of years, now see the light. That once again, God himself came and tabernacled in their midst, and they see the glory. But now it's in the face of Jesus Christ. And once again, God speaks into the darkness. Isn't it interesting that maybe it was just simply the coos of a baby and spoke into the darkness? As the Word became flesh, Jesus brings light. He brings light through his life, through his teaching, through his miracles, but most gloriously in the impossible, through his death. We sing often, light by darkness slain, but only for a moment. And on that glorious day, bursting forth from the grave, once again, darkness could not hold or comprehend or contain the light. Brothers and sisters, neither can your darkness. Neither can your fear. Neither can your anxiety. Neither can your depression. Neither can your sorrow overcome the light of Christ. Christ comes, and he comes to us. But then something even more glorious happens with the ascension. Because the question is, what about now? What about this Christmas season? Christ isn't present in the flesh. Is all we have to remember him simply twinkling lights on a Christmas tree, beautiful for a moment, that bring a momentary reminder of that light shown at that first Christmas morn in the face of the Christ child, but then later put away? The Apostle Paul says something even more glorious. The light doesn't simply come into the darkness. It doesn't simply come in Shekinah glory. It doesn't simply come in the flesh. But the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 speaks of a glorious treasure, and that light now is present, not in history itself, but in you and in I, in each one who has believed. He speaks of this glorious treasure that corporately is held in those who believe. And Paul, like John, again brings together this thread of history and continues. He begins with creation too. And he says, even if this gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded darkness, the minds of unbelievers, to keep them from seeing what? The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And you might say, well, you've just already preached this, Pastor. But then he returns to this theme, a witness like the Apostle John, who was not the light, who spoke of John the Baptist when he said he's not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. And he says, for we proclaim not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. And then he brings it all together in verse 6, where he says, for God, creation, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone where? In our hearts, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The psalmist says that there is no place where we can go where God is not present. But there is no place in that dark night of the soul sometimes that comes where it's only me and you, it seems. Where I'm alone present and nobody else can go. There in our hearts, Christ shines the light. Because Christ lives in us, the hope of glory. So Christ, as Paul prays for the Ephesians, dwells in our hearts through faith. And in that moment, the light of Christ comes and envelops the reality of our hearts and of our souls. So now the light that shone in the darkness of creation, that shone in the pillar of fire, that shone in the tabernacle and the temple, the light that shone in the face of the Christ child in Bethlehem now shines brightly in you and me. So that what Jesus says of himself in John 8, where he says, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, comes to fruition in his ascension. And so a widow who lost the light of her life, you don't walk in darkness, because in Christ you have the light of life. Mothers and fathers separated from children and children from their fathers, you don't have to walk in darkness because Christ has shown his light in you. You who even now sit in the darkness of your own making, maybe even of your own unbelief, for you Christ shines the light of life. And as you receive Christ, his light shines not simply on you, but in you. And brings with it from faith, he brings you from death to life, and from darkness into light. But this Christmas, like almost every other Christmas past and yet to come, there will still be an ache, won't there? And you say, well, Pastor, why? If this is all true, if God spoke into the darkness, if God was the light who came, if Christ came and now he shines in me, why the ache? You ache for Christmas Day. Like children ache, except for Matthew, for that day when they get to open the glory of their presence and enjoy. They can't wait, and they're almost like shaking with anticipation. We ache inwardly. Paul says in Romans that our souls inwardly ache for a better day. And what we ache for is we ache for a Christmas day. Not the one to come in 10 days. Not the one to come next year. But that one final, never-ending Christmas day. Yet to come. For that promise that has been given in the Old Testament is fulfilled in Christ. And that promise now is in our soul, and we studied in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of that promise yet to come. And that fulfillment will come. And for that we turn to the end, to the last couple pages of Revelation. And notice these glorious words, and you'll see the theme continue. John sees the New Jerusalem. The hope that is in each one of us, he sees that final Christmas morning. And notice the theme again of light. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them." The word became flesh and dwelt among them, the tabernacle of the Old Testament. He will dwell with them, and he will be, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And then we skip down to verse 22. In the city he's talking about, I saw no temple. Shekinah glory. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city had no need for sun or moon, second day of creation, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glories into it, and its gates will never be shut by day. There will be no night there. They will bring into it its glories and the honors of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. No night, no sun, no moon, simply the Lamb. The light of the world come at Christmas, shine so brightly that there is no need for a lesser sun or stars or moon. And there in that complete Christmas morn, we will understand in all the fullness the promise of God for which we ache on this Christmas day. And yet the hope that lies within us points us to that day with an ache and a longing and a promise to be fulfilled. But in that we recognize that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I just want to close with the lines from the hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go," because it brings us to such a wonderful completion of this picture. If you would, just close your eyes and listen to the words. "O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths it flows may richer, fuller be. O light that followeth all my way, I wield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed rays, that in the sunshine blaze its days may brighter, fairer be. O joy that seeketh me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. O cross that lifteth up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be." Our Father and our God, we thank you that in this day of celebration of Christ's first coming, we celebrate with joy and rejoicing. We sing with the angels. We proclaim with the shepherds. We come and seek with the wise men. We see your promise fulfilled from days of old. And with Christ in our hearts through the promised Holy Spirit, we recognize that there is a day yet to come. That day of days, that glorious day of which we often sing, where you will be all that we need and far, far more than we could ever imagine. We thank you for that day. We thank you for that promise. We thank you that now, in the midst of our ache, which sometimes is in sadness, the light of Christ shines. It brings comfort, but it also speaks promise and hope. So, Father, help us as we enter this time of celebration to ache and remember that final Christmas yet to come. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our time together by